Labor and Commerce will come to order. It's 3:22 on Monday, April 2nd. With us today, we have Representative Thompson, Representative Sadler, Representative Johnson, myself, Chair Olson, and Representative Holmes. We do have a quorum to conduct business. Please turn off your cell phones or Blackberries. We've got three bills on the agenda today. First being House Bill 251, Practice of Veterinarian Medicine. Carrying the bill is Annette Kreitzer. Please join us. And for those of you that weren't here at the last meeting, we were discussing SES version R. We closed the public testimony. And Representative Johnson, I'd entertain a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move that we withdraw our motion in adopting the CS for House Bill 251, designated 27OLS-1062-R.
Seeing no opposition, it's adopted, version R. It's removed.
Yes.
Well, we can cut to the chase on it, can't we?
Not yet. Mr. Chairman, if I could, I would move that we adopt the CS for HB 251, designated 27LS1062-O as a working document.
And seeing no opposition, welcome back, Ms. Kreitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you're ready for the record, my name is Annette Kreitzer, and I'm staff to Representative Alan Dick, who's the sponsor of House Bill 251. You've asked me to go over the differences between the original version of the bill, version D, and this committee substitute that you have, version O. In the original bill, version D, there was language that kept the veterinary board from oversight of veterinarians who were providing pro bono care. That language has been removed in version O. Also, a new addition in version O on page 2, lines 1 through 8. This is a section that we had heard concerns that, well, how will you track back a veterinarian who provides pro bono care? And this new subsection requires that the department receive the person's name, their contact information, and a copy of their license to practice veterinary medicine in the state in which they live. So the department will be able to make that form available to veterinarians who wish to practice in the state pro bono. And they can make it available to them electronically. Another, you asked me to hit the high points. We deleted the former Section 2, which dealt with surrender and reinstatement of a license. We deleted the phrase or experimental under the section dealing with professional incompetence, which is Section 2 in your current version O. We also removed language regarding gross negligence or repeated negligent conduct out of that same section because of testimony by the Alaska State Veterinary Medical Association, who were concerned that this created a higher unnecessary standard, a higher bar for showing professional incompetence. We corrected a minor drafter's error in Section 3, line 21, where the department should send the notice under the complaint section to the licensee, not the complainant. And in this version, Mr. Chairman, there is a task force created to examine the need and the status of veterinary services in rural Alaska, including rabies vaccinations, representation from the House and the Senate, the representation from the Alaska Federation of Natives, and the folks who work for the state who are involved in interacting with veterinarians in the state, and also private veterinarians who provide service in rural Alaska and also in urban Alaska who are not members of the board. The task force recommendations are due to the governor and the legislature by December 31st, 2012.
So that's what we did last Sunday. I'd like to thank Annette and Conrad for the hours that they put into cleaning this up, and with the assistance of the vets and the impacted communities. We had a lot of people weigh in on this, and we think we got something that will hopefully move. But any questions for Annette? Representative Sadler.
No, sir.
My goodness.
you're sitting down, though. So.
Well, this is much easier than it was an hour ago. What are the wishes of the committee?
Mr. Chairman, I would move the CS for HB 251 version O from committee with individual recommendations and attached physical notes.
We've seen no opposition. This bill will move out of committee, and we'll take a brief debate. We're back on the record. Next item on the agenda today is House Bill 259, pharmacy audits. Bill's been before the committee on three occasions. When we last heard it, there were four amendments. The amendments were moved, discussed, and tabled. It's my intention today to dispense with the amendments, begin discussions of the draft CS in the members' packet, and set aside the bill for the members to review. We just got the CS in for members of the people that are in the room. With that, can I have a motion to bring Amendment 4 off the table?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that we bring Amendment Number 4, titled Dot 1, from the table.
Seeing no opposition, it's back.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we withdraw.
I think Conrad's going to
each one of those. Yep.
Want to walk us through what we did?
Oh, okay.
Objection? Object for
discussion.
Oh. For discussion.
Bringing it from the table is a non-debatable. It's before us.
These rules, Chair.
Okay.
There we are.
Is it explainable?
That's the rule.
It is explainable.
It is explainable, but not debatable.
Okay.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Conrad Jackson, staff to Representative Olson. The amendment before you, titled I.5, was discussed at the last meeting. This amendment, if the members remember, dealt with exempting these audits from governmental agencies. This amendment has been incorporated into the CS that you will have before you shortly. And at this time, if you would move to withdraw the amendment, that will clean things up, and we can go on to the next.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that we withdraw a motion to adopt Amendment Number 4.
1.5.
Seeing no opposition, it is withdrawn. Could I have a motion to bring Amendment Number 3 off the table?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move we bring Amendment Number 3, titled 1.4, from the table.
It's I. I'm sorry, it's version I, so it's I dot four.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, this was one of those amendments that was discussed the other day. In reviewing the bill and discussions with the administration, if the members turn to page 2 of the bill and go down to line 29, it reads, a pharmacy may use any record. If they keep a record of these phone calls to prescribers and prescribers' agents, it's felt that basically the amendment is not needed. If we simply remove this from the table and withdraw the motion, this is not included in the new CS because, again, it is not needed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that we withdraw the motion to adopt I.4.
Seeing no opposition, it's adopted. With that, we have, I'll entertain a motion to bring Amendment 2 off the table.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that we bring Amendment Number 2, I.3, from the table.
Conrad.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I.3, there were some members expressed some concern about basically just asking for some clarification on maybe some different wording on this amendment. What has been done and, again, incorporated into the CS that members will see shortly, we've deleted a couple of words after pharmacy on the second line of that amendment. We've deleted based on and changed that to solely because and deleted the word that after prescription so that there are no chargebacks, different assessments when it is solely based on mailing or delivery of a prescription. This clarifies that if you've mailed it out at the request of the patient, you're not going to be penalized. And again, that is included in the new CS. that will be before you later.
Mr. Chairman, I would move.
I'm sorry.
Representative Sadler.
Question, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the version D. I'm sorry. This is, what version are we working from? Because I don't see where this is actually in the.
We're working from version I at this point. Version D is something that is not before you at this point.
Okay.
And I apologize, I sat down without bringing my copy of version D to the table.
So I'm looking for version I myself right now.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, there we go.
Oh, I've got I.
Thank you. Yeah.
Are we withdrawing the
yeah,
withdrawal? Excuse me, I move that we withdraw a motion adopting I-3.
And seeing no opposition, the motion is adopted. And can I I'll entertain a motion to adopt CS.
Nope, one more.
Oops, we got one more? One?
Mm-hmm, one more.
One, amendment number one.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we bring amendment number one, title I.2, from the table.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, an amendment that was discussed the other day. The concern was audits do take a lot of time from the pharmacists, and amendment I.2 would have limited the audits to 75 prescriptions, or no more than 75 prescriptions. There were concerns expressed by the administration that if they reach that 75 prescription threshold and they're continuing to find errors, that really creates a difficulty for them. So what has changed in the new CS that will be before you later is a 10% trigger. If in the course of an audit they discover a 10% or greater error rate, that 75% or 75 prescription cap goes away. So if there are a lot of mistakes, sorry, all bets are off, I guess is the short way to put that. And again, that will be included or is included in the CS that will be before you shortly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that we withdraw the motion to adopt I.2.
Now, seeing no opposition, the motion is adopted. Yes. And now we're down to entertain the motion on adopting version D.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that we adopt the CS for House Bill 259, designated 27LSO675-D as a working document.
And I'll object for purposes of discussion, but again, it's to have Conrad explain the changes, and then we won't be moving the bill today yet.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the new version D, there are a number of changes. Again, we're adding new language to paragraph 4 that in the original bill, there was a cap of 2 years for after the date the claim was submitted. This would allow for that two-year cap or whatever terms may be in a contract to rule the audit of a claim. Next, in paragraph 5 of version D, we've changed that to allow for consultation with a pharmacist licensed in this state or another state. The feeling there was, if we are limiting that to only consultation with pharmacists in Alaska, there's a possibility that we run out of consultants. It just opens up some options for us. The next change is really a substantial one. The old paragraphs 6, 7, 8, 11, 16, and 18 were deleted. These were paragraphs that Mr. Barnhill from Retirement and Benefits and the administration had serious concerns with. The next change inserts the old amendment, I-2, that was just withdrawn with the provision to remove that 75 prescription cap in the event of a 10% or greater error rate. The next change was to add in that amendment, I.3, as we discussed, with the change to disallow assessments solely on the basis of a mailing or delivery of prescription. The next change was to insert old amendment, I.5, intended to exempt governmental agencies. And finally, on the last page, we insert an effective date of July 1st, 2013. The intent there is to give everyone an opportunity to transition into this and take care of any regulations that may need to be changed. And that's the end of the changes, Mr. Chairman.
Any questions for Conrad? Thank you, Conrad. With that, I'll lift my objection and actually, I think I'll, I guess I'll lift it and still hold it over.
You did it?
Yep. And we'll be bringing it up hopefully Wednesday. We do have BPH on Wednesday, don't we? Yep. Last item on the calendar today is House Bill 266. This will be pretty brief. We're still waiting for the final CS. We have all the stakeholders pretty much in alignment on this one, and we expect to have it shortly. We'll get it out to the committee members, and I hope we can have this one up on Wednesday and put this one to bed as well. And for that reason, we'll be holding it over, and we will be adjourning at 3:40.